Hello everyone, my name is Jie Zhang from Yonsei University. Today I will talk about our work, which is cross-stack optimization for the ultra-low latency SSD. Firstly, I will use a single slide to summarize this presentation. Data center usually co-located latency critical application and the throughput application. This can improve the resource utilization and energy efficiency. However, to access storage, which is shared resource, the two applications can generate I/O interference. This makes the latency critical application suffers from the long I/O latencies. An ultra low latency SSD is an emerging solution to reduce such latency. It can provide memory-like performance. But the storage stack is unaware of ultra low latency SSD as well as latency critical applications. So the short latency of ultra low latency cannot be exposed to the user application due to the barriers of the storage stacks. We propose flash share. It punches through the storage barriers and expose the ultra low latency to the latency critical applications. Flash share can reduce average and 99 turnaround response time by 22% and 31%. I will start with the motivation. Nowadays, data center execute a wide range of latency critical workloads. It is driven by the market of the social media and the web service. A typical example of web service is Apache. A client usually sends the HTTP request to the Apache server. The Apache server receives the request, process the request, and send back the response to the clients. The key metrics for this working scenario is user experience. It is determined by how fast the client can receive the receive the response. So requests such as Apache are usually required to make sure they can satisfy a certain level of service level agreements. And this makes the latency critical applications sensitive to the latencies. The loads of latency critical applications varies during the day. The left figure shows up the example pattern of the loads in the web search clusters. As you can see from the figure, the peak loads continues for several hours, and it will decrease to the valleys for the remaining times. To satisfy the service level agreement even for the peak loads, the data center over-provision its server resources. However, it usually resulting the low utilization and energy efficiencies. The right figure shows up the CPU utilization for the Google server cluster. As you can see from the figure, the average utilization usually is around 30%. A popular solution to improve the server utilization is to collocate the latency critical application and throughput applications. Prior works adopt these ideas and propose to optimize from the CPU side, memory side, and network side. We set up a real server and evaluate the performance of collocating the latency critical workloads Apache and the throughput application Pendrang. In this time, we evaluate the SSD device latency and the response time of Apache. So left figure shows up SSD latency increase due to the PageRank. The PageRank can increase IO access latency by more than 2.2 times. Due to the long SSD latencies, it also increases the response time by more than 40%. To reduce such long SSD latencies, there are emerging ultra-low latency SSD technologies, which can be used for the faster I/O service in the data center. Intel and Everspin propose the Optane and NVNeutral. They propose to replace the NAND flash with the phase change RAM and the MRAMs, so that they can reduce the read-write latency to less than 10 microseconds. Samsung and Toshiba propose the ZNAND and the XL flash. They propose to redesign the NAND flash architectures and its peripheral circuits so that it can reduce the latency as much as 3 microseconds. In this work, we use the engineering sample of ZNAND SSD. It uses ZNAND, which can achieve ultra-low latencies. Unfortunately, the short latency of USSD cannot be exposed to the users. We also reevaluated PageRank and Apaches with the ultra-low latency SSDs. And the evaluation figure shows in the left right side. Before 58 seconds, the offline application do not issue the request. At this moment, the online application can generate SSD latency at around 36 microseconds. Afterwards, when offline application start to generate our request, the device latency of online application can increase by 42 times. In our experience, the USSD fails to deliver the short latencies to the user applications, and the problem actually comes from the storage stack. The application need to access the storage stack to reach the underlying USSDs. However, the storage stack is unaware of the characteristic of latency, critical workloads, and the USSD. In addition, we also found the block emulator, NVMe driver, and SSD firmware can hurt the performance of latency-critical application. I will start to analyze these block MQ layers. Block MQ include the software layer and the software queue and the hardware queues. When stating the request in the block MQ layer, each request needs to check up the software queue for merging. So the request needs to go through the software queue and find out if there's candidates can be merged. If there's candidate request is found, then request can be merged. Otherwise, the request will have to push into the back of the software queues. So software queues also hold this request to make software queues also hold this request for long times until the time expires or the queue has full. This will introduce long latencies to the latency critical applications. Afterwards, the hardware queue will start to defend the requests from the software queues. Unfortunately, the hardware queue is unaware of the latency critical applications, and also it cannot give higher priority to dispatch the latency critical IOs. We propose the latency critical application to directly bypass the software queue and hardware queues, so that it can avoid the long queuing times. The latency critical application can bypass the software queue because the merging has little impacts on the faster storage systems. And the request also can bypass the hardware queue because the existing I/O scheduler in the block MQ has no benefits to the latency critical I/O request. In addition, even though we assumed it can provide higher priority to dispatch the latency critical I/O request, the problem is the underlying NVMe queue can still block the latency critical I/O request. So what we propose is directly bypass the hardware queue, and we implement I/O schedulers in the underlying NVMe protocol queues. On the other hand, for the throughput request, we still leverage the block MQ to improve its storage access bandwidth. So bypass does not always can address the problems of all queues. IO request cannot simply bypass the NVMe protocol queues because NVMe protocol queues are usually tightly coupled with NVMe protocol to communicate with underlying USSDs. The problems of NVMe submission queue is that the latency critical IO request can be blocked by the prior IO request. Let's take examples. If there's a request comes into the NVMe drivers, the request will be pushed into the NVMe submission queue, update the tail pointers, and ring the doorbell registers in the USSDs. This can inform the NVMe controller that there's a new request. But the NVMe controller have to start from the head pointer to fetch the request one by one. In these examples, we have two requests in front of the incoming request. So the incoming requests have to wait for the extra times to fetch the prior request to be to the underlying NVMe SSDs. So this introduced extra waiting times. And when the head pointer point to the incoming request, the incoming request finally can be fetched by the NVMe controller. So in total, it will cost the fetch time by the request itself, as well as the waiting times because of its prior request. And it can generate much overheads, which is not tolerable for the latency critical I/O request. We want to design a new NVMe I/O submission, which is being aware of I/O responsiveness. We leverage the fact that a conventional NVMe controller can allow to customize the arbitration strategy for the different NVMe queues. We also can make the NVMe controller to decide the NVMe commands by sharing the hint to the IO, for the IO urgency. So in the, by default, Linux creates a pair of NVMe submission queue and the NVMe completion queue for each course. In our design, we allocate two SQs for each course, one for the latency critical IOs and one for the throughput IOs. We also create two submission queue doorbell registers in the, for the same course in the ultra low latency SSDs. When there's an incoming request which contain both the latency critical IO request and the throughput IO request, those requests will be pushed into the different queues based on their characteristics. And also the NVMe controllers will ring the doorbell register correspondingly. We also change the arbitration strategies. In our new arbitration strategy, we give the highest priority to the late submission queue. So NVMe controller can immediately fetch the latency critical IO request from the late submission queue. But we postpone the command fetch from the throughput submission queues. So that we make sure the latency critical IOs can always be fetched prior to the have with higher priority compared to the throughput IO requests. A high-end SSD usually employs large embedded DRAMs to cache the data. If there is a cache hit, the data can be directly served by the embedded cache. So it will cost a few times, which including the control logic time and the cache access time. Otherwise, the request will have to go through the internal flash translation layer to translate its address to the physical NAND flash address. And it also need to access the data from the NAND flash and bring the data to the embedded cache. So it will generate more times, which include the FTL times and the NAND flash access times. If we can better utilize the embedded cache, we can reduce the response times and accelerate the storage access. However, in current situation, the latency critical IO request and the throughput IO request can compete in the embedded cache. The intensive throughput IO request can put the embedded cache space. With the example, as I show in the slides, the request with no highlight can fully occupy the embedded cache and evict the request with highlight. And the request with highlight cannot get the future cache hit access, which may hurt its performance. To prevent the throughput application from polluting the embedded cache, we propose to split the internal cache space to protect the latency critical IO request. In these examples, we allocate way one and way two in the embedded cache as a protection region for the latency critical IO request. And for the incoming request, the first two latency critical requests can be directly put into the protection regions. And the remaining requests have to access the way zeros. This can make sure there is isolation of the interference between the latency critical request and the throughput request. Once the IO complete in the USSD, an NVMe controller have to write the IO completion messages to the NVMe completion queue. After that, it will call the MSI interrupt to the interrupt controller, so that it can inform the CPU to do the context switch and jump into the interrupt service routines. Within the interrupt service routine, it will do the IO completion process for the NVMe completion queue. Afterwards, it will jump out to the interrupt service routines and do the context switch, and then do the completion process for the block MQ layers. This will introduce the extra overheads like the context switch times and the interrupt service routines times. And this MSI overheads cannot be ignored for the latency critical IO requests. To address these challenges, the Linux already can provide the pooling mechanisms. Instead of using MSI interrupt, the CPU can directly keep checking the status of the NVMe completion queues. When the completion message is available in the NVMe completion queue, the CPU can directly do the completion procedure for the NVMe completion queues, so that it can save the times for the context switch as well as interrupt service routines. We compare the performance of MSI and the poolings in terms of average latency in the UL SSD. As you can see from the figure, using the pooling can reduce the read latency by 7.5% and the write latency by 13.2%. However, the pooling-based I/O service can consume most host resources. As you can see from the left figure, the pooling can almost consume 100% CPU utilization, and if you can see the right figure, it shows up the memory boundaries. The pooling actually can consume much more memory access compared to interrupts. We want to make sure the latency-critical I/O request can benefit from the poolings, but also we do not want to have the high resource cost, so we propose the selective interrupt service routines. When there's an incoming request, if the incoming request contains a latency-critical request, the CPU can directly jump into the pooling function to check the status of NVMe completion queues. When the latency-critical application available in the NVMe completion queue, then the CPU can directly do the I/O completion and finish its task. Then the CPU will directly fall asleep. Afterwards, when the I/O completion message of the throughput request comes, it relies on the NVMe controller to invoke the MSI interrupt so that CPU can continue to do the I/O completion task for the incoming throughput request. It is challenging for the prior I mentioned the system layers to speculate the I/O responsiveness. In our design, we leverage the fact that the user can have better knowledge about the workloads, which is latency-critical application or throughput applications. So we set up an API to the users, so that this API can directly invoke our created utilities. Within the utility, it calls a system call, which can pass the workload attribute to the Linux process control blocks. We also extend the Linux physical control blocks to store the workload attributes. In addition, we extended the existing I/O messages, which can include the workload attributes. And then we leverage these I/O messages to passing the information to the each system layers. There's more optimization in the papers, but due to the time limit, I cannot provide more details. So it's welcome to have a discussion in our poster sections. We set up our environment by using the four system simulator Gen 5, and also we create a UL SSD instance by using the simple SSDs. We set up four system configurations. Vanilla is unmodified Linux, and the cache OPT optimizes the cache layer. Kernel OPT optimizes the block MQ layer and the NVMe I/O submission, and the select ISR, it added optimization of selective ISR. Firstly, we analyze the latency of each system layers. Firstly, kernel OPT can reduce the time of block MQ layers because it can directly bypass block MQ. It also can reduce the waiting times because in the NVMe driver, the latency critical I/Os can directly fetched by the NVMe controllers. The cache also can reduce the embedded cache access times because it can optimize the cache access. And lastly, the select ISR can reduce the I/O completion times because it's using the pooling mechanisms for the latency critical I/O requests. In the slides, we also show the I/O service latency during the execution. The cache OPT can reduce the average latency, but it cannot optimize the long tails. The kernel OPT can optimize the long tails because it can avoid the long queuing latency and prevent the throughput I/O from blocking the latency critical I/Os. And lastly, selective ISR can reduce average latency further. In summary, our flash share can optimize different system layers to make UI SSD visible to the users, and it can achieve the good performance to reduce the turnaround delays. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Guess we're over time. We can take one question, if there's any question. Okay, let's take one.
I'm Jonggyu from Seongyeonggang University. Thank you for your presentation first. And I'm curious about, actually, you're targeting a system where the latency-sensitive application and throughput application are running on the same platform, right?
Yes.
But what if, like, the performance of throughput applications, like, are they degraded or just same as the conventional systems?
Oh, yeah. Actually, we also tested the performance of conventional throughput application. And actually, what we observe is it has minor degradation, but it can be controlled within 4%.
Additionally, when like the throughput application has higher priority than critical applications in the real world, do you also consider those situations?
Could you give more details about this assumption?
So it's like in like virtualized system like Docker, when I want to run a throughput application in a higher priority, higher prioritized container, and in another container, there's the latest sensitive application. So in this case, I think like the throughput application should be prioritized than the latest sensitive application, but I think it seems like the scheme doesn't like apply or consider those systems.
Yes, because we assume we want to make sure the latency critical application can satisfy the service level agreements. In this case, if you assume the throughput application has higher priority, then the SLA cannot be satisfied in common case. So in this case, we didn't consider about to give higher priority to the throughput application.
Thank you.